We don't know a whole lot about Salome, other than she was the wife of Zebedee and the mother of the apostles James and John. What we find, though, is she makes a request that, for the most part, was denied to her. She had asked a favor of the Lord, and that favor was turned down. In Matthew chapter 20, we're going to start with verse 20. Matthew 20, starting with verse 20. So then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit on your right and one on your left." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." Now, later on, Jesus tells the disciples, and we want to keep this in context, in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 13. John 14, starting with verse 13. "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Here's Salome had gone before the Christ and asked for something from Christ. And yet she was turned down. Here's a case that was turned down, and why it's turned down is important for us as we think about the prayers that we offer before God. You see, one of the problems is that if we look at the context of what happened in Matthew 20, Jesus had just said back in verse 17 that he was about to go up to Jerusalem and be killed. That this was God's will, that he would be killed and then he would be resurrected. Right after that is when Salome comes up with her request and says, "Now when you come into your kingdom, would you make my sons number one and number two in the kingdom?" In other words, she assumed that Jesus was going to set up a physical earthly kingdom. She really didn't pay attention to what he just said. That problem kept arising in John chapter 18. John chapter 18, and in verse 36. John 18, verse 36. This is when Pilate asked if Jesus was a king, and Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Jesus did not come to earth to set up an earthly kingdom. He wasn't here to create yet another nation or to restore, as Israel sought, restoring Israel to their glory days once again. Salome's request basically assumed that. In fact, when people try to force Jesus into doing that, in John chapter 6, John chapter 6 and in verse 15, "So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountains by himself alone." Jesus kept avoiding people trying to force their ideas on what he was here to do. That's what Salome was requesting was really contrary to God's designs for the world. The requests that we make have to be according to God's will. That's one of the things that is mentioned over and over again. Whatever you ask in my name, according to what he signs off on, what God wants, that will be what is done. It has to be consistent with God's will. Take a look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 And starting with verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. There's a condition there. If we ask according to God's will, then we are confident He listens to us and that we have whatever we request. In fact, when Jesus taught His disciples to pray back in Matthew chapter 6, one element of that prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 10, it says, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." A part of our prayer is that God's will be done. And so our prayers ought to be in line with what God wants. Asking God to contradict His plans, that's just plain wrong. It's sinful. And think about it, before we pray, before we make prayers before God, we need to know what God's will is. So many people really don't think about God. They don't have God in their lives. They don't think about what He really wants. And then they wonder why their prayers aren't being answered. It means that we need to study to make sure that what we're asking for fits in God's plan. It means effort on our part. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15. It says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." There's no reason why we ought to be ashamed if we know what God wants. We don't have to embarrass ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 17, Ephesians 5 and verse 17, "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." That's on our part. That's a requirement of us. We need to know what God wants. So think about it. I've had people tell me or have mentioned that, well, they prayed about the fact that they're in an unlawful marriage and that way God's going to accept it. Well, if it's an unlawful marriage, why do you think it would be acceptable? You can't change God's will by prayer. Or maybe asking God to help in an illegal business venture so that it succeeds. Or what a lot of people in the world do. Asking God to save them by merely praying, even though God says salvation comes by a different way, and they're not following that way, but just because they pray, they want salvation. See, a lot of people think that they can change the will of God by prayer. God's never said that. You have to pray according to what God wants. Another problem with Salome's request, though, is when you really come down to it, Salome wanted her sons elevated to the top two positions in Christ's kingdom. If you think about it, the focus there is on their glory. And her ability would be then to bask in their reflected glory. After all, she's the one who suggested that they get raised to those positions. On the other disciples, they understood what was going on, the power play that was being made. Because in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 24, it says, "In hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers." What are you trying to do? Elevate yourselves above us? They saw it as a power grab. And Jesus goes on to explain that the greatest in the kingdom is not by appointment, but by service. Let's read verses 25 through 28. "But Jesus called them to Himself and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He goes back to the point he started with. I'm about to die. Think about what that means. I'm here to serve. I'm giving my life for many. And it's something that we're required as well. A lot of prayers fail because what we're doing in our prayers is looking only for benefits for ourselves, exclusively for ourselves. James scolds people in James chapter 4 and in verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So many people focus on worldly things that only bring temporary pleasures, only temporary benefits. We need to look at the motives of our requests. What are we asking God? Why are we asking this particular thing from God? See, we're here on earth to bring God glory. We're not here for ourselves. One of the interesting things we in our study down the teenagers down in this morning, we were talking about David. David, every time he went before battle, he asked God, what do you want me to do? Not that David wasn't a bad general or anything like that. It gave God glory because it was always God's plan. Take a look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's because every good work is from God. What we do is following God's instructions. It's not something we make up. And so God gets the glory. But think about prayers when people pray for success or wealth, really for no other motivation than to succeed. Who is getting the glory then? Sometimes I get young people that tell me that, you know, they're praying for a good-looking spouse. What does that have to do with anything? But see, a lot of people look for self-glory. Another problem that Salome had was that she was basically aiming for instant success for her sons. She was basically asking, now, when you get your kingdom, just appoint them. And so, she wasn't considering the timing from God's point of view. See, our lives are in God's hands. In Psalms chapter 31, Psalm 31, and in verse 15, said, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. David understood, my time's not my own. My time belongs to God. Whatever time I have is measured by God. It's not for me to determine when is the right time. There's so many psalms and passages that tell us that we need to wait for God. Take a look at Psalm 27 and look at verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. How often do we make requests, but we want the answer right now? Rather than saying, here's what I want, and Lord, when you see this fit to answer it, I'll be happy with that. In Psalm 37, Psalm 37 in verse 34, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. God will accomplish what he says he will accomplish. If we do what God wants us to do and follow after his will, we just have to wait for God to answer. And we will, if we're confident, God will answer. He's promised that. In Isaiah 40, Isaiah 40, verse 31, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not get tired. They'll walk and not become weary. Sometimes we see waiting as a wearisome task. It's a drudgery. And here, if we wait for God, it's something that's time to restore us. And God will answer. You see, rarely when we ask for something is when we ask for it the best time. If you don't believe that, just look at the little kids. They're hungry, so what do they do? Can I have some candy now? No, we're about to eat supper. Wait a little bit. We're like that with God a lot of times. I thought of something, I need it now. We need to learn to wait to let God answer, because God knows when the best time to answer. But there's one other thing, though, that Jesus points out with Salome that we need to take note of. Going back to Matthew chapter 20, just for a moment. After she asked her request that her sons be made number one and number two, Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking." Do you realize the significance of what you're asking of me? And sometimes that's the problem that we have. The answer that we're looking for is not what we really expect. See, Salome's request was turned down, but it was not outright rejected. It was answered. The greatest in God's kingdom are those who serve. In Acts chapter 12, in Acts chapter 12, starting with verse 1, concerning her son James, it says, "Now about this time Herod the king laid hand on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James' brother John put to death with a sword." The first apostle to die was James. We have that memory of him. Is that what Salome had in mind when she said, "I want him to be, one of them to be number one and one of them to be number two"? Jesus even tried to explain it to her. Do you realize what you're asking? Do you realize that, are they willing to drink the cup I'm about to drink? Talking about his suffering and his death. They said, "We're willing." But again, I don't think they understood at that time, really what they were asking for. See, John lived a long life, but he lived his, at least his elderly years, a lot of it in prison. In Revelation chapter 1, starting with verse 9, "I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and the kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice saying, and goes on talking about the revelation. John was in isolation. He was on a prison island. Is that what he had in mind? When he said, I want that his mother was saying, I want him to be great in the kingdom? And Jesus had asked, are you prepared to suffer? Going back to Matthew 20 and verse 22, Jesus says, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? And they said to him, we are able. He said to them, my cup you shall drink. But to sit on my right and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom has been prepared for by my Father. It's not my choice. There's things that need to be done. See, in order to answer Salome's request, at least partially, required molding and shaping her children, changing their character. You need to think about that sometimes, what we ask for from God. Sometimes what we ask for from God, a lot of times, requires change in us. In Romans chapter 5, and starting with verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have to face hardships in order to improve us. I think about it sometimes. We pray that we will be able to go into heaven. What does it take to get there? It's not status quo. I'll give you that hint. It's going through some hard times. We need to change. We need to improve. Take a look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. There are temptations we have to endure. I keep running across people who say, I can't wait, you know, become a Christian, and then I don't have to face those temptations anymore. Someone else just told me yesterday, I can't wait until I get married, then I don't have to face any of those temptations anymore. You don't understand. We have to face temptations, and they don't go away. Not in this life. But we have to endure them for us to make it to the next life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our faith has to be tested. See, James and John's greatness came with great change in themselves and through great trials. When we pray, do we realize that our prayers are likely going to cause change in ourselves to be answered? See, we pray for growth. What does that require? What does it require for me to grow? We got a lot of people that are interested in sports. Do you get better at sports sitting on the couch? On days like today, you go out and run and you're going to sweat. And you're going to be miserable. What does it take for a Christian to grow? not by relaxful, nothing happening, everything going smoothly. It's all the rough things that we have to go through that makes us stronger. What about growth in the church? It doesn't just happen. Effort has to be expended. We pray for the word to be spread. What is required? See, we have to change. A lot of times God makes us change. Sometimes even when we're not really ready for it. I want you to think about that today. Is when you pray, what are you asking of God? Is it according to His will? Is it for God's glory? And are you willing to face the changes needed? And wait for God to answer. Think about those things as we continue today. We have an opportunity, as we always like to do, is if there's anyone here who is not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, like the prayers of the brethren on their behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.